I've got to move here. I'm driving the bus tonight. Amen. And so we're in James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. When you find your place, if you're physically able, would you stand? Amen. Out of respect and reverence to the Word of God. We've read these verses the last couple of weeks. We'll just read one verse tonight. Just one verse. Amen. And it'll be verse number 3 together. And next week, Lord willing, we'll do these six verses and we'll go down through the exposition. But Lord willing, tonight we'll finish up our study on biblical counsel about money. And by the way, there's more. We could do certainly a whole series about it. We'd like to give you some practical things out of the Word of God here. So let's read verse number 3 of James chapter number 5 together. Ready? Begin. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Father, please bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to go fast here because I've got about 15 minutes, and praise the Lord. So we talked about in our introduction 3 weeks ago, as James begins the final chapter of his epistle, for the third time, the Holy Ghost directs him on the subject of riches or money. Amen. And the first bullet point we looked at there was the rejoicing of the humbling of man of riches. Praise God, there's no path of wealth to heaven. Amen? Otherwise, a bunch of us aren't going to make it. Amen? But there is no path of wealth. And he talks about there that the rich man is humble. And then the second thing we see in James chapter 2 is the refutation of the superior treatment of the man with riches. I've said many, many times, ladies and gentlemen, and I know in my own heart, I try to be this way, God is no respecter of persons. And listen, we don't care if Brother Moneybags comes into our church or Brother Poor Pockets. Amen? We ought to treat them exactly the same. We ought to show the love of Christ to either one of them. Amen, amen, and amen. So, number one, we talked about warnings about money. 4 points under that. Money can cause us to forget God. Remember, we looked at that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So be careful when you come into this land and you get houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant and everything's going good. Be careful that you don't forget God who gave it all to you. Amen. So money can cause us to forget God. Money can cause us to act dishonestly. We talked about Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Remember when the man of God refused the money, Gehazi went and said, "Oh, no, he wants it." No, he didn't either. Amen. Gehazi wanted it. Amen. So money can cause us to act dishonestly. Money can cause us to be overcome with covetousness. When Jesus gave the parable of that rich fool, he started it with, "Take heed that you be not covetous." Or you be not overcome with covetousness. What's covetousness? Charles E. Fuller said, the itch for more. The itch for, just got to have more. We mentioned Rockefeller when he was asked how much money is enough. And Brother Casey said, one more dollar. One more dollar. And the answer is, it's never enough. Amen. Covetousness. And then lastly, we looked at money can cause us to have many sorrows by loving it. Happens all the time. Last week we talked about wisdom about money. First piece of wisdom about money is tithe. Tithe. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, again, you're the Wednesday night crowd. You can take a little strong meat. Tithing is just, it's the beginning of obedience. It's just a matter of obedience. And again, I'll say it, I said it last week, I'll say it again. You can live a lot better on 90% of blessed money than you can on 100% of cursed money. And if you don't tithe, I'm telling you, God said you're cursed with a curse. And God is not going to bless you like He wants. Now, thankfully, it still rains on the just and the unjust. And our God is a God of blessings, and all God's people said. But the tithe, it's wisdom about money. Secondly, we mentioned give cheerfully to missions. That is so important. I don't want to sound like this is a kind of message, because it's not, because many of you folks can agree with me on this. I have never regretted one dime I ever gave to missions.
Right.
Not one dime. I've never regretted it, amen, because I know it is laying up treasures where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Give cheerfully to missions. It's just good wisdom about money. It really is, amen. And you say, well, how much should I give, Pastor? That's between you and God. God never sets an amount on missions. You pray about it. Ask God for wisdom, amen. And then be faithful to your commitment, amen. Thirdly, provide for your family. Amen. Men, let's hear it, men. Amen. Provide for your family financially. Amen. Provide. If a man provide not for his own, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. Listen, I know there are hard times. Amen. Some of you have gone through them in your life. I remember Brother Horsch telling me a story when he lost his job and he started going around painting houses. Put a ladder on his big old station wagon, and it brought, probably back in the 70s, it had its own zip code, brother. It was so big, amen. And he went around and started painting houses. Why? Because he thought it was his responsibility to provide financially for his own family. So important. We looked at another one. Be a blessing to the poor. Psalm 41, Proverbs 19. Last two we tackled was, do your best to stay out of debt. And all God's people said,
amen.
Appreciate people in our church that say, I've never paid a dime of interest. That's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. Stay away from high interest loans and high interest credit cards. And all God's people said. And then the last thing we looked at last week was, do not assume another's debt. Be not a surety for somebody else. Listen, God's word is against it. You say, but. And listen, we all try to do that sometimes with God's word. But look what it says over and over. Be not surety for a stranger. Don't do it. Amen. If thy friend calls thee to be a surety, don't do it. God says over and over. Okay, the next one. And go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm moving here. I've got about 10 minutes here. So we're going to move quickly through these points. And this one is not going to win me any points whatsoever, but I'm just going to read what Jesus said. And you can take it up with Him. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk. And they sent unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that Thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. I love it when the Bible says that. Amen. He knew what they were. Amen. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Somebody said Jesus didn't like confrontation. They're not reading the same Bible I'm reading, amen. And then He said, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto Him a penny. And He saith unto them, whose is the image and superscription? And they say unto Him, Caesar's. Then saith He unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left Him and went their way. Next thing, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. But I don't like it. I don't either. And here's what I say. Listen, I'll give Caesar what's his and not one nickel more.
Amen.
Come on, pay your taxes. Listen, there's Christians in prison right now that used to have a vibrant ministry for God. Vibrant ministry for God. Going all over the country, lecturing, debating atheists and evolutionists. And you know where he is tonight? He's in prison. You know why, Brother Horsch? Tax evasion. Foolishness. Foolishness. Especially when the Word of God is clear. By the way, how about the passage in Luke when they said, does your master pay tribute? And Peter said, yeah, of course he does. And he went back to Jesus and said, do we? Jesus said, yes, we do. Go cast your hook into the water. You're going to catch a fish. And the first fish you find is going to have a coin in his mouth. You go ahead and pay our taxes. Even though I'm the King of Kings, For conscience sake, you go ahead and pay the tax. That, listen again. By the way, let me just say this. The tax code doesn't have loopholes. It has laws. It has law. People say, oh, you take advantage of a loophole. No, no. I don't make the laws. I obey the tax laws.
Amen.
Amen. If we've talked about this. There's going to come a day, ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the church, where preachers' housing allowances are going away. I believe that. The atheists are charging. I believe there's a point where your tax-deductible gifts are going away. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. As long as we have them, we'll use them. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Be a good Christian. Jesus said to, please don't stone me. Amen. Next. Boy, this one's so important. Proverbs chapter 22. Go there with me. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. Boy, that's a great chapter of the Word of God. My heavens. I got it all scarred up and noted up and highlighted and underlined. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 said, the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Save and plan for the future. Save and plan for the future. I understand in the day we live, it seems like it's getting harder and harder to save. Something always comes up and you have to break the jar. Amen. I understand that. By the way, can I say this? Just a side note. We've been blessed at our church by people who plan as part of their estates to leave something to the church. Can I tell you this? If you've got ungodly children... Please, I'm not being mean. If you got children that don't serve the Lord, I would advise you to leave a chunk to a church that's serving God. They will do much better with your money than your children squawking over it and pulling at it and fighting at it. Amen. I think about even just recently at our last business meeting, we were able to purchase hymnals because of two estates that were left to us. Thank God for that. Amen. Save and plan for the future. Next, Exodus chapter. We'll go to Proverbs 17:23. Go to Proverbs 17:23. Just a couple pages over. And you can look up the passage in Exodus yourself. I'm moving quickly here. Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Refuse bribes. Refuse bribes. There's nothing wrong with a reward. Reward. I remember getting into this years ago with a Pharisee about Brother Leonard about Sunday school promotions and things. People were giving away candy and bikes and then, oh, that's just ungodly. No, it's a reward for being faithful. Nothing wrong with a reward. A bribe is a gift to do something wrong. Refuse bribes. Amen. Refuse bribes. I think if there's one thing that permeates our political system, it's bribes. Corruption. Oh, it's awful. Okay, number three, words about money. Got three different words about money here. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. We got 4 points and we'll finish up here. I got 4 points and I got about 6 minutes here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, be good if the preacher got there, amen. Verse 18, okay. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as in this day. First bullet point there, everything comes from God. Your ability, your physique, your mental capacity, the absolutely everything you have to earn money comes from God. The other verse we have there is in James. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God blessed you with that ability. God blessed you with that strength. God blessed you with that mind capacity. Everything comes from God. Words about money. Secondly, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Right after Proverbs. Is the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the preacher is what it means, amen. And look with me at verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. It says there, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" Money can never satisfy. Never. Never. Money can never satisfy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, heading toward the back here. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. When you get there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. I'm looking at that clock, amen. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 17. The Apostle Paul here says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they might not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Money carries with it responsibility. If God blesses you with money, you have great responsibility that goes along with it to use it to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to God's people. To be, you know, I'll tell you what, it's not part of the message. I don't have time to say it. I saw a commercial the other night for the Wounded Warrior Project, and I'm telling you, I got stirred up. I said, I know I give to missions, and I don't know about an extra $240 a year, but boy, those fellas sure need it. And I thought, my goodness, if God would give me another $240, I'm going to support the Wounded Warrior Project. Amen. You say, what is that? That's being a blessing to somebody else. Somebody that really needs it. Amen. Amen. Money carries with it great responsibility. Lastly, go to Hebrews 13:5. You're in 1 Timothy. You got 2 Timothy, then Titus, then Hebrews chapter number 13. And look at verse number 5. And we'll end with this. And you can look up those other verses there in Philippians and in 1 Timothy 6:8 as well. It says there in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The last point is learn to be content. Paul said in Philippians there from prison, by the way, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am." We used to say, even Massachusetts, Brother Case, amen. "Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And he, 1 Timothy chapter 8, he talks about being content. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we could take nothing out." You know what you take to heaven with you? First of all, the souls you reach for Jesus, and the money you invest in God's work, that follows you to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet some precious South African who says, "I got saved because you gave to missions." I can't wait. I can't wait to see that, Miss McGee, on your account. Somebody many years ago, maybe that this church supported, and you gave to missions and gave your $10 or $20 or $40 or whatever you give, and they come to you and said, "I've been saved for 50 years. I've been enjoying heaven for 50 years because you gave to missions." And that we could say that around for each one of us. Amen. Listen, the best advice I could ever give you about money is tithe, give to missions. Tithe and give to missions. Father, bless now. Thank you for this study. Thank you for these precious people. Lord, I feel a little bit strange talking about these topics with such a giving people. Lord, but I believe your word has to be taught. Lord, we're to teach it, preach it. Lord, help us. Maybe those of us that are wavering in our giving or in our faith, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to just put you first, and Lord, that we would follow you in all that we do. We thank you for all that you give. Bless now our invitation time, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 493, ladies?